This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
You're listening to the Rawha, Daily Guidance for Seekers with Sheikh Faraz Rabbani, who will be covering Imam Yusuf al-Nabahani's beautiful collection of 40 sets of 40 hadith of the Prophet, peace and blessings be upon him, as well as Imam Zarnuji's guidance for seekers of knowledge regarding the ways of seeking knowledge. Ta'lim al-Mut'allim, Turuq al-Ta'allim.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala Sayyidina wa Nabina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallama tasliman kathira. Allahumma lak alhamd ala ma alamta ala ma an'amta alayna min ni'amin la tuhsa ya rabbal alamin faj'alna allahumma laka min ibadika ash-shakirin li ni'amik ya rabbal alamin. Alhamdulillah. In our look at the 40 hadiths, the 40 sets of 40 hadiths by Sheikh Yusuf al-Nabahani, alhamdulillah, we completed the second set, which is hadiths on the praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hadiths indicating the praise of Allah. And praise, hamd, is for blessings. Right? And one of the lessons that we saw from those hadiths is that what are the greatest blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? The blessings of Allah in reality are not material matters. Right? The believers in one level, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, and he tells us, minhum, that amongst you are those who seek this worldly life, and amongst you are those who seek the hereafter. So the believers with worldly concern, what do they see as their blessings? They see as their blessings material things. I got a job, Allah is merciful. I got married, Allah is merciful. This, right, they see the things worthy of praise. Alhamdulillah, what do they say Alhamdulillah for? Alhamdulillah, I had nice Turkish food. Right? But none of that, really, and all of these are blessings. But the blessings that matter are the everlasting blessings. Right? And this was the focus of the hadiths that we saw, right? Particularly, what Allah has promised the believers in the hereafter. Right? What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised the believers in the hereafter. And there are numerous lessons in those. And for those of you who are joining in, this daily Rawha takes place normally between Mondays and Thursdays at 7 p.m. from Seekers Hub Toronto. And if you look for Daily Rawha in iTunes, it is also podcast there. So the third collection of 40 hadiths by Sheikh Yusuf al-Nabahani, he says, Al-Arba'un al-Thalitha, Arba'una hadithan fi fadli al-Qur'an al-Karimi wa tilawatihi. 40 hadiths in the virtues of the noble Qur'an and in the virtues of reciting it. So the author begins with a very brief sending of blessings. He says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Allah, Lord of the worlds. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad, Sayyidil Mursaleen. And all blessing and all peace be upon our Master Muhammad, the Master of all messengers. وَعَلَىٰ أَلِهِ and upon his folk, وَصَحْبِهِ and his companions, all of them. أَمَّا بَعْد, to proceed. فَهَذِهِ أَرْبَعُونَ حَدِيثًا فِي فَضْلِ الْقُرْآنِ الْكَرِيمِ وَتِلَوَتِهِ. These are 40 hadiths on the virtues of the noble Qur'an and the virtues of reciting it. The first hadith. عن سيدنا عثمان رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خيركم من تعلم القرآن وعلمه رواه البخاري. سيدنا عثمان بن عفان, who's known as the Nurain, the possessor of the one of of two great lights, because he was married to one daughter of the Prophet ﷺ, and when she passed away, to another. And the third of the Khulafa, Jami' al-Qur'an, the one who gathered the Qur'an. He said, which is why the Mus'haf that we have, the Mus'haf is referred to as al-Mus'haf al-Uthmani. Right? Why? Because the form, the final collection of the Mus'haf was done under the direction of Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan. That the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the best of you, khayrukum, the best, and khayr, the one, the most virtuous of you. Man ta'allam al-Qur'an, are those who learn the Qur'an and teach it. And the ta'allum al-Qur'an has many levels, but ta'allama has to do with the one who learns the text of the Qur'an and by learning the meanings of the Qur'an, right? So learning the text of the Qur'an has to do with learning how to read the Qur'an and how to, and by memorizing the Qur'an. Right? So this hadith contains within it many virtues. خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. The best of you are those who learn the Qur'an, which has to do with learning the text of the Qur'an, learning its recitation, and memorizing it. And there's many sub-aspects of that. Learning the text of the Qur'an, and learning the meanings of the Qur'an, which is al-ulum al-shari'iyyah, right? Right? The sharia sciences. And all of them, in every Shari'i science, the Sharia sciences, the religious sciences, are either established by the Qur'an, or they elucidate the meanings of the Qur'an, or they detail the implications of the Qur'an, or are deduced from the Qur'an, or are instruments to understanding the Qur'an, like the ulum al-ala, the sciences of language and logic and so on. Right? So خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنِ, the best of you, the best, most virtuous of you, are those who learn the Qur'an, which has to do with learning the text of the Qur'an, its reading, and by memorizing it, and the meaning of the Qur'an, which is, and the meaning of the Qur'an, this is a critical error. The meaning of the Qur'an is al-ulum al-shari'iyyah, is the sharia sciences. It is not simply a textualist understanding of the Qur'an. Right? The Qur'an is only understood through the sharia sciences. What is the point of fiqh unless it is a detailing of the divine command? What is the point of hadith except that it's a detailing of the divine command? What is the point of all of spirituality, of this, all of them? Right? So one could diagram this very beautifully. Someone wants to break it down. تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنِ. And understanding the Qur'an itself, which is the tafsir of the Qur'an, tafsir is only through the ulum al-shari'iyyah. Right? And the only person who can, someone doing tafsir is doing one of two things. They are either conveying to you the interpretations of those capable of interpreting the Qur'an, or they are themselves capable of interpreting the Qur'an, which requires complete mastery of the sharia sciences. Anyone else talking about the meanings of the Qur'an, beware. Beware. The best of you are those who learn the Qur'an. And part of learning, of course, the lazim, Right? What is necessarily entailed by learning is acting accordingly. وَعَلَّمَ And who teach it to others. Who teach it to others. Whether that be teaching the recitation of the Qur'an, or teaching people, I mean mentoring people to memorize the Qur'an, or with even more virtue, teaching anything of the Sharia sciences. And there's levels of virtue in the Sharia sciences. This is related by Imam Bukhari and others. Right? And everyone should, hearing this, should yearn to learn and to convey for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To be of khay, you know, the best of creation are those most beloved to Allah. This is, and this is why al-fadl عند الله متعلق بالعلم. Virtue with Allah is connected with knowledge. In learning it and in conveying it. And in conveying it. لله تعالى. And every believer should make a commitment to that. To properly recite the Qur'an. And to memorize some share of the Qur'an. And to commit to learn all that is needed to live the meanings of the Qur'an. Which you need to have a foundational understanding of ulum al-deen, the sciences of the religion. Right? So that, and a test, do you know what you need to know in your deen? That if you read the Qur'an, you, when it talks about inheritance, you know, okay, this is what it's saying. When it talks about the criminal punishments, you know what it's talking about and what it entails. When it's talking about transactions, when it's talking about all the various ahkam, the command of Allah. When it's talking about Allah Himself and His prophets, you know what we believe about them. When it's talking about spiritual matters, right? When Allah talks about the akhlaq, right? The inward akhlaq, you know, the spiritual qualities of the heart, or the social qualities of the heart. Whether it's talking about patience, you know, sabr, or gratitude, shukr, or it's talking about the social qualities of the heart, such as generosity, such as good opinion of others, etc. You know the guidance related to it. Right? And that's the practical need for the Sharia sciences, so that one can live, so one has ilm of the amr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, the other key aspect in this hadith, ta'allum in the Arabic language, as the commentators of hadith make very clear, ta'allum is what is done by studying under a teacher. That is ta'allum in the Arabic language. Reading has different words in the Arabic language, right? Mutala'a, nazar, qira'a. Right? But ta'allum is specific in its core sense to that which is done by a muta'allim under a alim. Right. And that's very clear. That's why the Prophet ﷺ said, إِنَّمَا الْعِلْمُ بِالتَّعَلُّمُ Knowledge is only through study. The second hadith, عن السيدة عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها أم المؤمنين قالت قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم so سيدة عائشة رضي الله عنها relates to the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said الذي يقرأ القرآن وهو ماهر به مع السفرة الكرام البررة the one who recites the Quran, and they are expert. You know, they have mastery in its recitation, is with the noble, righteous, exalted ones, right? The highest angels. And the mahir, there's an outward mahara, outward expertise or mastery, which is they recite it proficiently, right? يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they recite it as it deserves to be recited. But that, how it deserves to be recited, there's an outward proficiency in it, but there's an inward state of the heart. And the mahir batinan is the one who recites it, but they behold that they are being addressed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's kalamullah. So they're being addressed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? They're in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that even, and their lips are moving by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they behold that la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Right? That is inward expertise in reciting it. And they are in with the highest, noble, virtuous angels. And they are, where are they? They're in the divine presence. Okay? Such a person is present in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's an outward expertise, but an inward expertise. وَالَّذِي يَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنِ And the one who recites the Qur'an, وَهُوَ يَتَتَعْتَعُ فِيهِ And يَتَتَعْتَع it conveys the meaning of the sound, that they struggle with it. Right? And they struggle with it. وَهُوَ عَلَيْهِ شَاقٌ And it is difficult for them. For example, they're a convert, and their language, their mother tongue, has letters that are significantly different from the Arabic language. And many of the Arabic letters are difficult for them to pronounce. Or they struggle with the pronunciation. They're learning it when they're much older, etc. وَهُوَ شَاقٌ لَهُ وَهُوَ عَلَيْهِ شَاقٌ لَهُ أَجْرَانٌ Such a person has twofold reward. Right? The reward of their action and the reward of their effort. Right? But the action, رواه البخاري ومسلم, this is related by Bukhari and Muslim. So one aspires to be of those who are mahir, who recite it expertly, which is an outward mastery and an inward mastery. And a lot of upcoming hadiths will discuss this inward mastery. But there is also that if one hasn't attained that and one has struggle, the struggle itself is beloved to Allah. Sheikh Abdul Ghani Nablusi, in his commentary, Al-Hadiqatul Nadiyya, Sharh Al-Tariqa Al-Muhammadiyya, explaining the work, the Path of Muhammad, by Imam Al-Birgivi, he explains that the ulama asked the question, that how do the angels write down a poor recitation? So then they record it according to the intention and the genuine effort of the servant. But everyone should be working on improving their recitation. And if one's serious about the deen, and one hasn't reached a level, one hasn't done tasheeh al-qira'ah, rectifying one's recitation, then one is deficient in deen, right? Naqis wa aql, lacking in intellect, right? Because if this is what Allah and His Messenger have told us, where are we from that, right? And if someone considers themselves a student of knowledge and they're not working on their tajweed, then you know, simply shame on them. So we should hasten to rectify that situation. But also there are inward qualities with respect to the Qur'an, the adab of the Qur'an. And that's something that everyone should take very seriously. Anyone serious about al-amal bil-ilm, acting upon their knowledge, should be studying and reviewing the adab of the Qur'an. And two of the greatest works on that, number one, is Imam Nawawi's work, translated as Etiquette with the Qur'an, At-Tibyan fi Bayani Adabi Hamalat al-Qur'an. And the second is the chapter on the Adab with the Qur'an in Imam Ghazali's Ihya, particularly the section on the inward spiritual man, the inward Adab with the Qur'an. No one has talked about that as brilliantly as Imam al-Ghazali, rahimahullah ta'ala. And we've covered that previously on Seeker's Hub. So we're going to continue from hadith number 3 next time, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. And we'll read briefly from Ta'lim al-Mutallim on the adab of the seeker of knowledge. And this work by Imam Zarnuji looks at what are the qualities of a success of a seeking of knowledge that is successful, that bears fruit. So we stopped at a summary of the adab related to respecting one's teacher, right? So he says, وَفِي الْجُمْلَةِ, right? So this is in chapter, the chapter on respecting knowledge and its people, right? وَفِي الْجُمْلَةِ يَطْلُبُ رِضَاهُ وَيَجْتَنِبُ سُخْطَهُ. And in summary, one seeks to please them and one avoids displeasing them. And this is, of course, the kind of teacher who's fit to follow. Right? And why is that? Because the true teacher wants what's good for you in your relationship with Allah. They want what's good for you in you fulfilling your ultimate potential with Allah. Which is why Imam Sidi Al-Ghawth Abu Madian, in his Qasida Unwan Al-Tawfiq, what he said, فِي رِضَاهُ رِضَى الْبَارِي وَطَعَاتُهُ. In their good pleasure, in the good pleasure of one's teacher, one's mentor, right, is, in their good pleasure, is the good pleasure of Allah. Because the true teacher, they're not telling you things for their sake. They're, you know, and particularly with respect to your learning and your, you know, and what, and the counsel they give you. You know, a key quality of the true teacher, the true mentoring teacher, is that they have nasiha, talabul khair fi haqqil ghair. They see good with respect to you, right? So, and they say, laysa sha'nu an taftakhira bi shaykhik, right? بَلِ شَأْنُ أَنْ يَفْتَخِرَ بِكَ, right? That what, it doesn't matter whether you're proud of your teacher, but rather whether your teacher is proud of you, right? وَيُمَثِّلُ أَمْرَهُ فِي غَيْرِ مَعْصِيَةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And one obeys their command in other than the disobedience of Allah Most High. فَإِنَّهُ لَا طَاعَةَ لِمَخْلُوقٍ فِي مَعْصِيَةِ الْخَالِقِ. For there's no obedience to creation in disobedience to the Creator. Right? So, listening to one's teacher is a condition for benefit, but it's a means to seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? It's not an end in itself. كَمَا قَالَ النَّبِيُّ عَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ إِنَّ شَرَّ النَّاسِ مَنْ يُذْهِبُ دِينَهُ لِدُنْيَا غَيْرِهِ. That it's related from the Prophet ﷺ that from the worst of people are those who rid themselves of their deen for someone else's worldly gain. And one should be careful, because everyone, like, our following is a principled following. A sound following of scholars is a principled following. That if they err, one would not err. Right? If they do something wrong, unprincipled, one would not follow them in that error. Now, everyone can err sometimes. Right? That's a given. لا ينافي إثبات الخصوصية ظهور أوصاف البشرية. It does not negate the affirmation of electhood, of high rank with Allah, for the traits of humanness to be manifest. Right? But if it becomes a norm and it is not something that the person disassociates themselves with, they made a mistake, they go back on it, they repent, they redress, they rectify, then that's very dangerous. Okay? And then he says, وَمِن تَوْقِيرِهِ تَوْقِيرُ أَوْلَادِهِ وَمَن يَتَعَلَّقُ بِهِ. And from the respect of one's teacher is to respect their children and those associated with them. كان وكان أستاذنا شيخ الإسلام برهان الدين صاحب الهداية رحمه الله تعالى يحكي أن واحدا من كبار أئمة بخارى كان يجلس مجلس الدرس وكان يقوم في خلال الدرس أحيانا فسألوه عن ذلك. Said, and it, the author of the Hidayah, our teacher, Sheikh al-Islam Burhan al-Din, meaning al-Marghinani, used to tell us that one of the great one of the great imams, one of the great scholars of Bukhara, used to sit in the place of teaching his lesson. And once in a while, during the lesson, he'd get up. So they asked him regarding that. And this lesson was probably in the masjid or in a public place. فَسَأَلُهُ عَنْ ذَلِكَ فَقَالَ إِنَّبْنَ أُسْتَاذِي يَلْعَبُ مَعَ الصِّبْيَانِ فِي سِكَّةٍ وَيَجِيءُ أَحْيَانًا إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ. Said that the son of one of my teachers plays with the children in one of the streets and sometimes he comes to the door of the masjid. فَإِذَا رَأَيْتُهُ أَقُومُ لَهُ تَعْظِيمًا لِأُسْتَاذِي. Says, and if I see them, I stand up out of respect to my teacher. And that's one story. وَكَانَ الْقَاضِي الْإِمَامِ فَخْرُ الدِّينِ الْأَسْتَرَبَنْدِي رَئِيسُ الْأَئِمَّةِ فِي مَرُوْ وَكَانَ السُّلْطَانُ يَحْتَرِمُهُ غَايَةَ الْإِحْتِرَامِ ويقول إنما وجدت في هذا المنصب بخدمة الأستاذ. Right? So another of the great scholars, the Qadi, the Imam, Fakhr al-Din al-Astrabadi, Astrabandi, who was the foremost Imam, the foremost lead scholar of the great region of Maru, and even the Sultan there, the ruler used to respect him to the utmost of respect. He used to say, we have only reached this rank by serving, you know, my teacher. فَإِنِّي كُنْتُ أَخْدِمُ الْأُسْتَاذَ الْقَاضِي الْإِمَامِ أَبَا يَزِيدٍ الدَّبُوسِي وَكُنْتُ أَخْدُمُهُ وَأَطْبُخُ طَعَامُهُ 30 سَنَةً. Says, I used to serve the great teacher, the Qadi, the Imam, Abu Yazid al-Dabusi, or al-Dabusi, and I served him and cooked for him his food for 30 years. وَلَا أَكُلُ مِنْهُ شَيْئًا. Would not eat anything. Imam al-Dabusi was one of the great Hanafi Usulis and wrote some brilliant works, both in Usul and in the... he has an amazing work called Ta'sisu al-Nazar, where he looks at the underlying principles in which Imam Abu Hanifa and his companions differed, that resulted in their differences in the details of fiqh in different issues. It's an amazing, very subtle book. I have yet to see an edition that the editors understood what he's talking about, because they're all riddled with errors. So it reads like a puzzle. It's a good deciphering practice. We'll look at one more story. وكان الشيخ الإمام الأجل شمس الأئمة الحلواني رحمه الله تعالى قد خرج من بخارى وسكن في بعض القرى أياما لحادثة وقعت له وقد زاره تلميذه غير الشيخ الإمام وقد زاره تلاميذه غير الشيخ الإمام القاضي شمس الأئمة الزرنجي رحمه الزرنجي رحمه الله تعالى. So, and it's related regarding the great Imam Shamsul A'imma, literally the son of scholars, Al-Halwani, and Al-Halwani is one of the great, great Imams of the Hanafi school, that he'd left Bukhara and was living in one of the small towns, in one of the villages, literally, for a period of time because of some events that happened to him. Because the scholars would get prominent, but then the authorities would get very sensitive about them. They've all, the ulama, or, you know, so things would happen. So he was living in one of the small towns or villages. And all his students visited him, except for the great Imam, the Qadi, Shamsul A'imma, Az-Zarnuji, rahimahullah ta'ala. فَقَالَ لَهُ حِينَ لَقِيَهُ لِمَا لَمْ تَزُرْنِي. So when he finally came, he asked him, why didn't you visit me? And of course, this is going back to an issue that we totally neglect. This is not just between a teacher and a student, but it's a broader thing, that الزِّيَارَ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى التَّزَاوُرُ لِلَّهِ تَعَالَى مِنْ أَكَدِ السُّنَنِ الْإِجْتِمَعِيَّةِ. Visiting one another for the sake of Allah is one of the most important of the social sunnahs, right? And it's a bid'ah, and I say it unhesitating, it's a bid'ah for people not to take the days of Eid off, at least the first day. Going back to work, when if you have one vacation day, take one of the Eids off. If you have two vacation days, take 2 days of Eid off. Right? Work through Ramadan, but the 2 days of Eid are days of festivity. Right? And it's a fundamental bid'ah not to do so. Right? And failing to make arrangements for that is just neglect in deen. And it is religious neglect. We are commanded to celebrate, to visit one another, etc. And this is a fundamental shortcoming, right, of visiting, you know, family first, right? But, you know, in places like Damascus or Tarim or other cities, or just an established, Baghdad, I heard this from Sheikh Afifuddin al-Jailani, just a given. Second day of Eid, it's haqqul ulama. The first day of Eid is the right of family. Second day of Eid is the right, if you're religious, of the ulama, that you visit them. Right? That you visit them. And this is well established. Right? This is well established. And, Sheikh Afifuddin al-Jailani mentioned that one year, because his Sheikh Afifuddin al-Jailani is a direct descendant of Sheikh Abdul Qadir al-Jailani. And so they take care of the masjid and the maqam of Sheikh Abdul Qadir al-Jailani in Baghdad. And one year, with all the disturbance going on and so on the second day of Eid, he was not able to visit his teacher, Sheikh Abdul Karim Mudarris. And then, third day, he was busy, and he had a dream that night, that of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And I heard this straight from Sheikh Afifuddin al-Jailani. He asked him, Oh Afifuddin, how come you haven't visited your teacher, Sheikh Abdul Karim? And he woke up and he went to visit his teacher. And Sheikh Abdul Karim al-Mudarris, when he came, he asked him, Sayyid Afifuddin, you didn't visit me during Eid. And he apologized, said, but I have a good story, I have a bushra to share with you. He said, what is it? He said, I saw the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and he asked me why I didn't visit you. So I apologize. And so Sheikh Afifuddin said, you really saw that? He said, yes. He said, let's celebrate. And he said, let's make tea and have kaak, which is the dry biscuit. Because that's all Sheikh Abdul Karim Mudarris had. Sheikh Abdul Karim Mudarris lived to around 103 or 104, maybe 105 years of age. And he was teaching full-time, dedicated, for 90 years, right, from when he was in his early teens. That's why he's known as Al-Mudarris. He had nothing, he just lived in a small room by the masjid, and was, till his death, he was actively teaching. Great, great imam, died about 10 years ago. So, Al-Halwani asked this question, لِمَا لَمْ تَزُرْنِي? How come you didn't visit me? فَقَالَ لَهُ. So, his student, the student of Al-Halwani, Az-Zarnuji, فقال له كنت مشغولا بخدمة الوالدة. I was busy serving my mother. فقال ترزق العمر ولا ترزق رونق الدرس. Said you'll be granted long life, but you will not be granted radiance in your teaching, because, and this is based on the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that whoever maintains ties of family is blessed in their life, either by long life or by barakah in their time or their wealth, but they're blessed in their life, right? That silat al-rahim, you know, lengthens one's life, either lengthens its amount or expands its blessing, or expands the blessings within it. But you will not be granted the ronak, which is used in Urdu, the ronak, from this, may actually be from Farsi, the radiance, the benefit of your teaching. وَكَانَ كَذَلِكَ And that's how it was. فَإِنَّهُ كَانَ يَسْكُنُ فِي أَكْثَرِ أَوْقَاتِهِ الْقُرَى وَلَمْ يَنْتَظِمْ لَهُ الدَّرْسِ And this great, otherwise great scholar, lived most of his life in small towns. And he was never able to get his teaching going. فَمَنْ تَأَذَّ مِنْهُ أُسْتَاذُهُ يُحْرَمُ بَرَكَةَ الْعِلْمِ Whoever's teacher is annoyed by them is debarred, yuhram, is debarred from the blessing of knowledge. نَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ سُبْحَانَ وَتَعَالَى مِنْ ذَلِكَ وَلَمْ يَنْتَفِعْ بِهِ إِلَّا وَلَمْ يُنْتَفَعْ بِهِ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا And others, or either they don't benefit by their knowledge except a little, or others don't benefit from their knowledge except a little. And this is مُجَرَّب. It begins, of course, the first step is respect your own teacher, or respect your own teachers. And second, respect the people of knowledge. Respect the people of knowledge. Right? And then we'll close with these lines of poetry. He said, إِنَّ الْمُعَلِّمَ وَالطَّبِيبَ كِلَاهُمَا لَا يَنْصَحَانِي إِذْ هُمَا لَمْ يُكْرَمَا فَاصْبِرْ لِدَائِكَ إِنْ جَفَوْتَ طَبِيبَهُ وَقْنَعْ بِجَهْلِكَ إِنْ جَفَوْتَ مُعَلِّمَا Right? He says, the teacher and the doctor, both of them, don't give complete counsel if they are not respected. So be patient with your ailment if you are bad to your doctor, and be content with your ignorance if you're bad to your teacher. Okay? Of course, what it means is that, you know, if you're disrespectful to your doctor, whatever your doctor tells you, you're like, well, I disagree. What? Then your doctor's not really going to tell you what you need to know. I say, well, you know, why should I tell you? Okay? Right? It's not that, I mean, the doctor will do their job, but will they go above and beyond to help you? No. Right? And this is, of course, especially based on a model of where you had much closer, much more holistic relationship with your doctor. Right? And that's the basis with one's teacher. So be content with your sickness if you are rude to your doctor. And be content and suffice yourself with your ignorance if you wrong your teacher. Because most of the benefit of the teacher-student relationship is not in the class, but by their counsel and by their guidance and by observing them and by acquiring the attitude to knowledge and the tools, right, and the application of the tools of knowledge that the teacher has. But that's only through establishing a genuine relationship of closeness. Right? It's not saying that, you know, cook and clean for your teacher and that's it. Right? But, you know, it's one of the things that to acquire closeness to the teacher by being worthy of that, right? And that's an art. And then we'll continue tomorrow or on Monday by looking at the story of Harun al-Rashid when he sent his son to one of the great scholars of the Arabic language, al-Asma'i.
Thank you for listening to the Rauha, daily guidance for seekers with Sheikh Faraz Rabbani. Help Seekers Hub give light to millions around the world by supporting us through monthly donations by going to seekershub.org/donate. Your donations are tax deductible in the US and Canada.